Hello, you're listening to Film on Radio with me, Amy Griffith, your resident girl on film. And today I'm joined in the studio by Miss Erin Dong. How are you doing?
Good.
You're good. Okay, so of course, whenever I have you in the studio, Erin, it means that we're going to be talking Chinese cinema. But first, I'm going to set the scene. I want to tell a little bit of a story. So Erin came to me the other day about romantic comedies. And she was like, oh, we should talk about romantic comedies. Because to be honest, it's not really a genre that I particularly watch. But it'd be interesting to talk about it from that kind of perspective of somebody who doesn't really go for those sorts of films. So you offered up some suggestions. And one of those was...
I'm not particularly a romantic person, per se, so well, I have very limited experience in watching romantic comedies as well.
Well, this was the thing, because one of the films that you offered up talking about romantic comedies was a film called...
Chongqing Express.
Chongqing Express. Yeah. And when I was looking into it, I realised it's not actually a comedy. It is a romance. There is obviously romantic relationships within it, but it's more mystery, thriller, romance, and very little to no comedy at all. But you said that you laughed at it.
I laughed all the time.
Which I guess says more about Erin than it does about the film itself. But it got me thinking. I looked into the film and I found out that it was written and directed by this guy called Wong Kar-wai.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a very experienced, very well known and quite well regarded filmmaker, especially on the Hong Kong scene. And I was looking into his films, and he's done films such as the recent The Grandmaster, but also 2048, which was a big film on the festival circuits, especially in the West as well. Like, we know that film very well. Also Happy Together, and of course this film. So I was like, well, I think we should do a show on this guy. He sounds awesome, and he sounds like a really interesting and very well-developed director from China, or from the East. So I thought,
absolutely,
yeah, let's do it. Let's go with this. So personally, I've actually only seen a couple of his films, which is, of course, the one that you suggested, and also I saw Happy Together as well. So I don't really know a lot about this guy's work in terms of actually viewing it. I just know it by name. But I definitely, it's definitely made me want to see more of
his films.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about how you kind of came to find this guy. Was it because of the fact that he is such a big name in Eastern cinema?
That's the primary reason, of course. Like, you know, people pop into the cinema, they want to see someone that they know who is a well-known filmmaker, because it's a guarantee of the quality, for say. But for me, I think it's more of a... He is the one can pull people together.
Yeah.
You can see that those kind of... the cast, what I call, is the golden cast of the golden era of Hong Kong cinema.
Okay,
a lot of them are just... Now you can't really see them anymore.
Okay.
So, and also that guy is really... a weird guy.
Why'd you say that?
I don't know. It's so it's this, the film that you watched, it's kind of hard to let you get in.
The
story.
I think that it has a lot of elements of westernized ideas in it.
Why you call this westernized ideas?
If you say I see with regards to Chongqing Express, is that how you pronounce it?
Sure. It's the first time you pronounced Kung Pao. I was like, Kung Pao chicken.
Was that like it had elements of things that I could relate to or see that have storytelling devices that you see in Western cinema? So that's why I'm saying that, like, I wouldn't necessarily say westernized. I wouldn't say that his story was westernized, but I can see his storytelling devices, and I can see that these films are understandable and relatable, and you can draw something from it. Okay, so the first film that we're going to talk about is Chongqing Express, and this was actually one of his earlier films, his third or fourth film. It's like very early on in Wong Kar-wai's career.
Yes.
And it's funny because actually I didn't watch the trailer for this film. So you suggested this film to me. You sent me a trailer. And you sent me the trailer on YouTube. And in the suggestion bar,
there was Quentin Tarantino.
There's Quentin Tarantino.
Draw more attention from you.
Yes, sadly. Yeah. And I decided to watch that instead. Mostly because I was like, I'm so very confused, because this is still when we was on the talk about it being romantic comedies, and I was kind of confused by it. So then I clicked through his thing, watched that, and it made sense to me completely. But anyway, it was actually Quentin Tarantino talking about this film that really kind of intrigued me about it, because he said that, you know, he uses a lot of influences from Wong Kar-wai's work, but specifically this film as well, especially with regards to his Pulp Fiction film, which is very episodic. Although they actually came out around the same time.
Though. This one is 1994 and Pulp Fiction is 1995?
Possibly, yeah. Very, very close.
I think it's quite close.
Because I think that Reservoir Dogs came out in 92 or 93. But anyway, yeah. So the story is almost kind of like two separate films. There are two romantic relationships going on within this film. So we get the setup of the first one, and it almost kind of like it splits. Halfway through the film, we get that turning point when the character from the first part and the character from the second part kind of like brush past each other, and we get that sort of like switch in the film. I quite like the idea of that, but I do feel like that personally, I felt that both of these stories could have been fleshed out a bit more. We could have almost had a whole feature film of both stories, basically. What's your was your impression of this film?
This is a classic already, and that's why when today I rewatched it, I was laughing as well, because it was so classic. A lot of plots actually be sort of like have be appropriated in other films.
Okay, yeah.
So a lot of them are actually in comedies. You know, you say the same line, it's quite romantic in the first place, and it repeats several times. It becomes just
a parody
cheesy.
Of
it's a parody. Yeah, I think it's a very Wong Kar-wai film.
Okay, that's awesome.
It is very have its own style. And if you, one of the things that I feel quite impression about it's there's a lot of like a guy just talking, you know, that kind of monologue.
Yeah, yeah. Especially in the second part with Tony Leung's character, he does a lot of talking to inanimate objects around his house, and I really enjoyed. There were two very distinct features in the first part and the second part. So the first part was about expiration and kind of things going out of date and not lasting, and I thought that was a really interesting analogy for kind of like love and things like that. And in the second half, we had this guy who had lost his, so both guys have lost their girlfriends, and in the second half he talks to inanimate objects around his house, trying to really talk to himself. He's, you know, he's telling himself to kind of like man
it's
up.
A self-healing process. And what I want to say is, for me, now I watched it, I found this very typical Asian stuff in this.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a lot of things like you acting as there's normal, there's nothing going on really. But there's a lot of inner voices.
Yeah, okay.
And you don't want to. And Wong Kar-wai's storytelling style, it is just like that. He will say a lot of things. He will, you know, the figures, the main figures in his film is sometimes act quite weird or out of normal way. Or just normal people. But there's a lot of things, a lot of very up-in-the-sky thoughts and very subtle, very dedicated feeling in the lines.
You're listening to Film on Radio with me, Amy Griffith, and today, of course, I'm joined in the studio by Miss Erin Dong. Hello.
Hello.
We are talking about the work of Wong Kar-wai, who has a career that has really been kind of hit after hit. He's had so many massive films and very well-respected films, one of those being Chungking Express, which we're just talking about. Now, there's a couple of things I want to pick up from the last talk that we just did. The first thing is that, as we always end up kind of coming back round to, because we've got this sort of like culture clash thing, but we always come to this sort of agreement that, to be honest, with regards to film, it's all very universal. So you talked about how, you know, we act like there's nothing wrong on the surface, but inside there's always these inner voices, inner demons, inner thoughts going on. And I think that generally, you mentioned about it being maybe very Asian, but I think generally, I think that's what a lot of people are like, because people don't want to necessarily burden other people with their issues. So on the surface, they try and be as cool and calm and collected as possible, but inside, of course, they have all these voices. And that was mostly portrayed through Tony Leung's character when he talks to himself in his house. And the other thing, you mentioned about this being a very Wong Kar-wai film, but funnily enough, especially in those more action scenes, more in the first part of the film, the very fast-paced, almost kind of jittery, shaking action scenes, I felt a bit kind of John Woo and Hard Boiled, which also stars Tony Leung as well. But that very kind of like, it's a bit disorientating, and so there's a lot
it's
going
chaotic,
on.
Chaotic, yeah. Dynamic.
Yeah.
I think if you watched Happy Together, you can have the same feeling as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a frame or something. It's the whole atmosphere.
Yeah.
If it, cause you, what I say, I was writing an email to you yesterday. It's a typical Hong Kong film, especially before Hong Kong be handed over to mainland. So there is a relatively long period of time the Hong Kongese know it's gonna. There is a political things is happening, and there is an ideology things happening there. You can actually portray that in the film.
Yeah.
This is kind of like dynamic, not assured, lack of security, and also full of hope, full of chances. You know, everything, it's not in, all over the place.
Yeah.
That kind of feeling, you can see, is a pen things in all different kind of films.
Yeah. Mm. So let's kind of, you just quickly touched on Happy Together. So that's the other Wong Kar-wai film that I have seen. And this is also something that I found quite interesting between both of these films. It's a very kind of escapism. So, you know, in the first film, we have basically two women who want to kind of get out of the life that they have. One is already kind of trying to escape that with the wig and the sunglasses and the trench coat. And the other girl like actually wants to get out, and she wants to
go to California.
Yeah. And of course in this film Happy Together, we have two characters who have
actually
left and have settled in Argentina. Also again starring Tony Leung. He is a actor that Wong Kar-wai has worked with seven films, I believe, at the moment.
And anyway. Also another character, Leslie Cheung.
Yes, Leslie Cheung, who is of course in Farewell My Concubine.
Yes.
Yes. That was his last
film. The Days
film,
in the Wild as well.
That was his last film? Is Happy Together his last film?
Not really. But the last one is a horror.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, so they play lovers who have a bit of an on and off relationship with each other as one of the
very characters. Extreme love and hate.
Yes.
Stuff. Very obsessed with each other.
Very much so, very much so. I think one of the first things that you notice, so it's narrated by Tony Leung's character, and he talks about how his boyfriend always says, come on, let's start over. And then, so we're about 15, 20 minutes into the film. The film is shot in black and white, and then it changes colour when he says, oh, come on, let's start over.
And then he said yes.
Yeah, and we get this new story, and it's all in colour after that. And I thought that just that in itself was a really brilliant touch. I like the idea that
that's the thing, you know, when loves come back, your whole world has started being colourful.
Possibly. Spring, I mean, like, well, he didn't let him come back too easily.
Oh,
I mean, he almost kind of...
Otherwise, he won't have the film. You know?
Well, yeah, this is true. But it was a very... Yeah, so it's a very interesting story about, I guess, sort of like the real life struggles of a cooperative a relationship. You know, the idea that you do kind of depend on each other. And when one is depending more on the other, there's a breakdown in that sort of communication. And when the other one doesn't need to depend on that person anymore, they go away. and the other person is left feeling quite heartbroken and like, well, what do I do anymore? Like, I feel like I've served my purpose. What are your thoughts on the film?
My thoughts on the film? It's a very... I'm not sure I like this kind of film, because it's like, after you're watching a film, you feel like you're kind of in the film. It's, for me, it's hard to get out of it, because it's very dynamic conflict in this.
Mm.
But for me, I really like the film, the way it tells the story. It's very vivid. The yeah. characters are very vivid.
Yeah.
And you can actually capture Tony Leung, especially him, because there is a little bit antidote to the film, because they went to Buenos Aires without yeah. any story, actually. So Tony Leung wasn't been told he was going to play a gay in the first place.
Okay.
And he has a long-term girlfriend.
Yeah.
So at that time, back in the 90s, that was an issue for an actor. So you can actually catch him have this kind of swim things. Like, well, like, back to Wang Kar-wai. Wang Kar-wai once said the story is not very much important, actually. You know,
okay.
story lord. But as a director, as a filmmaker, he wanted to set up the scene to let the actors really immerse in the mood.
Okay.
So for someone, it is really about to reconstruct yourself and to really get in the story. But he did a really good job. So I think a lot of credit should go to Wang Kar-wai himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I would like to point out that, like, I think Tony Leung is a great actor, and I've seen him in three or four films, and so I've seen him from like his very early, from Hard Boiled, like up until kind of, you know, like the Internal Affairs sort of films. Mm. So like,
it's adaptable to different kind of roles.
Absolutely, and this is very different to those kind of films. Those very macho sort of like guns a blazing sort of films. So it was definitely an interesting change to see him. You know, I know if you like think of these four films. Only once is he not playing a police officer.
He had that kind of face. You let them trust. You
yeah,
know?
He does. I think he's so. Got a very pretty face.
And also, I think this film, a good, really good film, can make everyone see themselves in the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's also the reason why I like it. I can totally see myself in the film. I can totally see my relationship in the film.
So you
well.
Do like the film, you just don't like what it brings out in you, what it reminds you of, the feelings that you get from a film
well
like
done,
this.
Well done, detective.
Okay, so as I keep on mentioning, I have only seen two of Wong Kar-wai's films. So what I want you to do is just suggest to me other films of his that I should definitely, definitely check out.
If you like Chungking Express, you definitely should watch Falling Angel as well.
Okay.
So that's actually another part of the story which have a link to Chungking Express. They have the same character, funny enough, they have the same name as well. But so you can actually see, it's like a prequel.
Okay.
Of the stories.
From all...
No, just a part of it. But okay. I will let you guess which part of it.
Okay, okay.
And maybe that's the part that you want to actually explore more.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's a good film, and also it's a very typical Hong Kong film.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Picture that kind of, you know, metropolitan, but that can struggle with the traditional Chinese, you know, very reserved way of express their emotion, and also a clash with the metropolitan, you know, way, very fast food relationship, that kind of thing. So definitely check it out. And also The Ashes of Time.
So The Ashes of Time actually was a film that Wong Kar-wai was directing at the time of making Chungking Express, from what I remember Quentin Tarantino saying, and
yes.
he took time out
yeah.
because this was a very sweeping, epic story.
It took ages.
And it was very heavy.
It is very heavy. And in the middle, because they ran out of budget, so they have to make another comedy. I mean, real comedy.
Okay.
And they
get
the
one
box
that
office.
Just Aaron laughs at.
The box office, so they can compensate the money they need for the Ashes of Time.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So that was absolutely a great film. And it's touched a little bit wuxia. Because I think in the future we should talk about this, because it's such a unique, not only martial art, but also the classic Chinese utopian world.
Okay.
So that is set up in this scene and have very much philosophical lines as usual.
Erin loves her philosophy. She loves to philosophize.
Of the simple things that just make everything make life tougher.
She likes to make life tougher on herself. Okay, any more?
I myself quite liking the mood of love as well.
Okay, yeah, this Tony is one that is on my list. This is on my list, yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely.
But that was set up in the scene in Shanghai rather than... several scenes. A part of it in Hong Kong as well. A part of it in Shanghai. So you can actually see there is a very delicate, still I would say, very delicate way of Asian touch in regard of relationship. And also very, very beautiful old Chinese set up the scene in there.
Yeah. Mm. Well, awesome. Well, yeah, definitely. I think that everybody should be checking out the work of Wong Kar-wai, because I think that he is definitely a filmmaker that transcends boundaries, transcends language, the ideas of what it is that makes something specifically Eastern or specifically Western. He tells stories that are more about people rather than the places that they are in, and I think that that's really the important thing that we should be able to get from film.
He look at the people from a struggle on the edge of the society.
Okay.
And these people are normally not the people that we see. We usually cast our eyesight on.
Mm, yeah.
And also he liked to put very small moments into the slow motion, I would say, because they let you think, and he writes questions for you. He never provide you answer.
Well, I
that's one of the annoying things about the film, you know?
If you watch Chungking Express, you definitely might have a few more questions than answers. But yeah, absolutely. Check out the work of Wong Kar-wai. Well, sadly, that is all we have time for today here on Film on Radio. I want to thank Ms. Erin Dong for coming along and sharing with me the work of Wong Kar-wai. But until then, of course, you can catch Film on Radio every weekday from 5:10 here on Propeller on Spectrum. But until then, have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.